The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Michael Horden as Old Jolyon, Alan Howard as Soames Foresight, and Diana Quick as Irene. Episode 3.
It's the same tune. The same waltz. An old tune. Old-fashioned. But she danced it with that Bossini at Rogers. On and on, down and down. That ballroom was endless. And she smelt of gardenias. That old tune full of gardenias. Damn the gardenias.
From the window, Sam saw Irene hastening homeward down square in a soft, rose-coloured blouse with drooping sleeves.
I don't know that blouse.
Sam stood where he could see into the hall.
I've never seen it before.
She came in with her latchkey, put down her sunshade, and stood looking at herself in the glass.
She's flushed, as if the sun had burned her cheeks, and that smile is not for me, nor those outstretched arms. Very pretty.
I didn't see you, sir.
Have you been running? I hardly recognize you.
She seemed on fire.
No, why should I? Let me pass.
Why such a hurry?
I'm going to my room. Let me pass.
Wait, I don't like this blouse. It's a soft, shapeless thing.
Don't touch me.
It's my right. And where may you have been?
In heaven. Out of this house.
Has she seen him? He haunts the place with his lover's cry. Well, the buccaneer may be pleased with himself now, but with me he has altogether mistaken his man. I'll ruin the impecunious beggar. I'll ruin him. And she has no money either. They're both beggars.
Many people, no doubt, would say that Soames is less than a man not to have removed the locks from his wife's doors and, after beating her soundly, resumed wedded happiness. But active brutality is not popular with the Forsytes. They're too circumspect and, on the whole, too soft-hearted. In Soames, there was some common pride. He refused to feel himself ridiculous. Short of actually beating his wife, he perceived nothing to be done. He therefore accepted the situation.
I asked Bilson if you had been in to lunch. She said no.
Bilson's quite right. I was not in to lunch.
You seem to have taken to lunching out rather a lot. I've asked Bilson several times.
I often lunch out.
You know how I disapprove of your gadding about by yourself.
So you've told me.
And yet you take no notice?
No. I take no notice.
She's still meeting him, I'm certain. I don't know where or how. I shan't ask. I don't want to know. Everything nowadays seems so subterranean.
Throughout the summer and autumn, Soames continued to go to the office to sort his pictures and to ask his friends to dinner. He did not leave town. Irene refused to go away. The house at Robin Hill, finished though it was, remained empty and ownerless. Soames had brought a suit against the buccaneer in which he claimed from him the sum of £350. He'd put his interests into the hands of Jobling and Bolter, and Bolter had the matter in hand.
Counsel's opinion agrees with mine, Mr. Forsyth. It's a very nice legal point. And Waterbuck is a good QC.
He took 6 weeks to come to his conclusion.
It's this expression in your letter to the defendant. A free hand in the terms of this correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice point.
Well, I made it perfectly clear that Bossini was not to spend at the outside more than £12,050.
But did the architect understand that? We have, on Waterbuck's advice, tried repeatedly to secure from the architect an admission that he understood he was not to spend more than the sum stated. It's in this phrase, a free hand in the...
Yes, you must secure the admission.
So far our interrogatories have been answered by Messrs. Freak and Abel, the defendant's lawyers. Nothing whatsoever admitted, and that without prejudice.
You must secure it.
At least you have the decency to save the feelings of the servants. And don't lock your door during the day.
What do you want? Please leave my room.
I want to know how long this state of things between us is to last. I've put up with it long enough.
Will you please leave my room?
Will you treat me as your husband?
No.
Then I shall take steps to make you.
Do. Now, please, will you leave my room?
And the Forsytes? They were at the sea. From hotels, hydropathics, or lodging house, they were bathing daily, laying in a stock of ozone to last them through the winter. In rude health and small omnibuses, they arrived daily from the various termini. Back to Timothy's, and their not unkindly gossip. It was a comparative outsider who supplied the next evidence of interest. Mrs. McCander, Winifred Doughty's greatest friend, dined at Timothy's, although Timothy himself could never be induced to be present. The saddle of mutton had just been brought in by Smither.
Oh, I was taking a constitutional with young Augustus Flippard on my bicycle in Richmond Park, and whom do you think I passed? Oh, you'll never guess. Mrs. Soames and Mr. Bosinney. Oh, they must have been down to look at the house.
Timothy distrusts mutton.
He eats it, of course.
But he distrusts it.
What a charming woman, Mrs. Soames. Mm. Such a sympathetic temperament. Soames is a really lucky man.
My dear, it is a subject we do not talk about.
It was not a subject which the Forsytes could talk about, even amongst themselves. Yet within a week, to all of them, save Timothy, from whom it was carefully kept, it was known that those two had gone to extremes.
Ugh.
What is it, James?
Well, I can't tell, Emily. It worries me out of my life. There'll be a scandal, and that'll do Soames no good.
No, I hope there's nothing in it.
She's very artistic, they tell me.
The artistic temperament is not to be trusted.
What? Oh, you're a regular Julie.
Oh, James.
Well, I don't know. I expect the worst. This is what comes of having no children. You know, they never told me they didn't mean to have any children. Nobody tells me anything.
Come to bed, James.
It's all this interference. What business had Jolyon to introduce a person like this Bosinney into the family? It's that girl's fault, that June. But then what can you expect? She's young Jolyon's daughter. Mm. You know, I always looked up to my brother Jolyon, Emily. Now he's not quite what I expected.
Reds, yellows, that sprinkling of leaves on the water. Can one ever catch that precise blending? That real feeling of autumn.
Jan Jolyon, whose circumstances were not those of a Forsyte, found at times a difficulty in affording those country jaunts and researches into nature without which no watercolour artist ever puts brush to paper. He was frequently, in fact, obliged to take his colour box into the botanical gardens.
Ah, there's a face. If only I could paint portraits.
Beyond a flowering laurel, a lady in a velvet jacket was sitting on a bench, with her eyes fixed on the ground. A black picture hat concealed her hair.
Dainty. So dainty. And what's she doing there all alone? Waiting? For what? For whom? Yes, I know what she reminded me of. That reproduction in the dining room. Titian's heavenly love. That's
Philip!
Why? It's Bassini.
You're here, you're here.
We set the ornamental pole.
Yes, I wrote in that galley myself. I know those long hours of waiting. Those few moments of half public meeting.
You must hurry. You must.
That's the real thing. That's what happened to me.
Please, Irene, I beg you.
Darling, it would ruin you.
And where does Soames come in? People think she's concerned about the sin of deceiving her husband. Ah, little they know of women. She's eating after starvation, taking her revenge. And heaven help her, for he'll take his.
It's so very nice to see you, June. Isn't it, Julie?
My dear, it's been such a long time. How's your dear grandfather? He hasn't been to see us since May.
Did he like the mountain air?
My dear, those mountains.
He liked the Rhone Valley.
Not too many Germans, I hope.
They were mostly English in the hotels.
What a relief.
My dear.
Quiet, Prudence.
Are Soames and Irene in town? I haven't been to see anyone.
Yes. They haven't been away at all.
Oh.
Some little difficulty about the house, I believe. You've heard, no doubt.
Difficulty?
You'd better ask your Aunt Julie.
Difficulty, Aunt Julie?
My dear, did you wear night socks up in those high hotels? It must have been so cold at night.
No, I hate the stuffy things.
But, June, they do serve a purpose.
I hear your grandfather has installed electric light at Stanhope Gate. My dear, I do hope it's not too bright.
How are you, Julian? I haven't seen you for an age. You've been to Switzerland, they tell me.
Switzerland? Yes, James.
Yeah, this young Beau Sinny's got himself into a mess. I knew how it would be.
I don't know what Soames is about. Making a fuss over a few £100. I thought he was a man of property.
It's not the money.
I've come in for my will.
Are you going to make some alterations? Bring in Mr. Julian's will.
Yes, Mr. Forsyth.
You've made some nice purchases lately, they tell me.
I don't know where you get your information from. When's this action coming on?
Well, next month, I believe, but nobody tells me anything.
Mr. Julian's will, Mr. Forsyth.
I'll take it with me, James. I can't tell what you've got in your minds. You must manage your own affairs. But if you take my advice, you'll settle it out of court. Goodbye, James. That'll show James and the man of property. No more poking their noses into my affairs. Your trusteeships are cancelled. Soames won't miss £1,000 a year or so. Not if he's such a man of property. They deserve it. All that time wasted, that sorrow, all that family interference, knocked me off balance. And 15 years of disapproval bestowed on my only son. Now, James, Soames, the whole family, will know once and for all that I shall be master.
Where's your mayor, sir?
3 Wisteria Avenue, St. John's Wood.
Mr. Forsyth, I'm glad you've come.
Hmm?
Your father's here.
My father?
Yes, he's in the drawing room.
Is Mrs. Forsyth at home?
No, she's not.
Oh, good. Right. Just for all this stuff in the coat closet, will you? No good staggering in with easel.
Yes, sir.
Old plate. Dad! Sorry we were both out.
I decided to wait, Joe.
I'm glad.
I wanted to speak to you alone.
Hmm?
I'll come straight to the point. I've been altering my arrangements, Joe. You can cut your coat a bit longer in the future. I'm settling £1,000 a year on you at once. June, we'll have £50,000 at my death, and you the rest. That dog of yours is spoiling the garden. I shouldn't keep a dog if I were you.
That's Balthazar. Oh, Dad.
Dad.
Yours won't come short of 100,000, my boy. I thought you'd better know. I haven't much longer to live at my age. Shan't allude to it again. How's your wife? Give her my love.
I'll not think of her. I will not.
That night, in his room at the top of the house in Montpelier Square, Soames examined his collection of pictures.
I wish I'd bought that Boucher, Talleyrand and Sons. Just missed it. I like that school. Boucher, Watteau.
Irene had gone deliberately to her bedroom soon after dinner.
And so your wife is a great friend of Mr. Bosinney's.
Two nights before, at Winifred Darty's, Soames had taken Mrs. McCander in to dine.
And so your wife is a great friend of Mr. Bosinney's.
It's only the peacocks in the park.
Women are the devil.
The devil. The very devil. Even tonight I tried to kiss her goodnight. She won't even let me do that.
She hates you.
Why? Why does she hate me?
Don't touch me.
Will you treat me as your husband?
No. So your wife is a great friend of Mr. Bosinney.
Then I shall take steps to make you.
I've a good mind to break the lock. Break down the door.
She's my property. Can property refuse to be of value?
It's unlocked. She must have forgotten.
In heaven, out of this house.
I shall take steps to make you. Not a great moment. I'm her husband, after all. Only asserted my rights. And no one will ever know. It's not the sort of thing she'd talk about.
The morning after Soames had, at last, acted like a man, there was a thick fog over London. As he walked to Sloane Square Station, he was strangely haunted by the recollection of his wife's face.
Not of great moment. Women make a fuss about it in books, but I've heard men praised for such a thing in the divorce court.
He was still haunted by the odd, intolerable feeling of remorse and shame he felt as he stood looking at her by the flame of a single candle before silently shrinking away.
Paper! Suicide!
After all, I've found it on my desk to sustain the sanctity of marriage, to prevent her from abandoning her duty.
Piper!
And if she's still seeing Bosinney from... No! Why should I regret it? It's merely a step towards reconciliation. The rest will be comparatively... this fog's getting worse.
Charing Cross Station, ladies and gentlemen. Charing Cross Station.
Towards 5 o'clock that evening, George Forsyte, the wittiest and most sportsmanlike of the Forsytes, got out of the underground at Charing Cross. His intention was to pass the evening playing billiards at the Red Pottle in Jermyn Street. Suddenly George saw a man who, leaping from a first-class compartment, staggered rather than walked towards the exit.
Get out of my way!
The man struggled. This is Lord.
No, sir. What you're doing? What you're doing? The man's mad.
He's trying to get back in.
No, sir. No. The train's already started.
I have to get on. Don't you understand? I have to get on.
So ho, my bird. Why, it's the buccaneer. And that... Is it possible that that woman in the carriage was Mrs. Soames? This is interesting.
Oh, just let me alone, will you?
He doesn't look very safe, the buccaneer. Nor does he look drunk. I'd better follow him.
Oh, where you're going, young man. It's difficult enough to see in the fog such a mount.
He doesn't seem to know where he's going.
To do that. Oh, God.
Such violent emotion. I'd better see the poor chap through.
Yeah, but she said, take the knock. God, take the knock.
What on earth could Mrs. Soames have said? She looked bad enough herself. Whatever trouble she's in, I don't like to think of her travelling on with it all alone.
Look out there! Pull her! Pull! Did you see that, sir? Right out of the cab.
I did.
This visibility. I nearly had him. Shouldn't be allowed out by himself. Because he's 6 paces as it is.
No, quite. Quite.
Get up there. Get up. Get up. Slow.
The button has stopped. He means to put his tuppenny under a bus. I'll have to stop him if I can.
I'd kill him if I could. Soames. Damned Tarquin.
What?
By force. Assault. His own wife. Oh, Irene.
Tarquin.
Brutaling force.
My God, and she was unwilling. Unwilling.
Possessed her. Irene. My Irene.
Well, no wonder the poor fellow's half cracked. But he'll get over it. Not the first time such things have happened in this little city.
Yeah, I'll break his bones. Damn him. Damn him to hell.
I say, Bosinney, old man.
Who are you? What do you want?
George. George Forsythe.
Forsythe? Damn him to hell.
If I see a bobby, I'll hand him over. Can't go on like this. It's God's own miracle he's not been run over already.
Look out, mister! It's so stay, hello!
I'll be under a bus myself soon. Now, where... Damn.
I lost him, Darty. A neat break of 23. Failed at the Jenny. And who was she, eh, George?
Oh, some little love lady or other.
What? A whore? I was sure it was our friend Soames.
Were you? Then, damn it, you made an error.
Ha-ha! Missed!
I can't help thinking of that poor buccaneer. Maybe wandering out there now in that fog. If he's not a corpse.
Corpse? He's all right. 10-1 wasn't tight. Triumph, Darty. Don't I tell you, he's taken the knock.
Divorce of army officer. Grave indisposition of a statesman. Fire in a colliery.
It was nearly 7 when Soames heard Irene come in.
Irene!
She was already on the stairs. The high colour of her grey fur coat almost hid her face. She wore a thick veil.
Irene.
She neither turned to look at him nor spoke. No ghost or stranger could have passed more silently.
Yes, it's an undoubted Turner. There's quite a movement in his work, but...
Is that?
No, it's nothing. Maybe I should have sold with movement in the market like that, but...
Is that...
Oh, that must go to bed. An early night. Fresh for the trial tomorrow.
But it was a long, long time before Soames went to sleep.
My lord, my client, Mr. Soames Forsyte, is a gentleman, a man of property, who would be the last to dispute any legitimate claim that might be made against him. But he has met with such treatment from his architect in the matter of this house, over which he has, as your lordship has heard, already spent some £12,000, that, as a matter of principle, and this I cannot too strongly emphasize, as a matter of principle, he has felt himself compelled to bring this action.
Yes, I have the correspondence here.
My client, my lord, a man of recognized position, is prepared to go into the box and to swear that he never did authorize, that it was never in his mind to authorize, the expenditure of any money beyond the extreme limit of £12,050, which he had clearly fixed. And, not further to waste the time of the court, I shall at once call Mr. Forsyte.
Mr. Soames Forsyte.
Soames then went into the box.
I solemnly swear.
His whole appearance was striking in its composure. But his evidence under cross-examination savoured of taciturnity.
Did you not use the expression, a free hand?
No.
Oh, come, come.
The expression I used was a free hand in the terms of this correspondence.
And would you tell the court that that was English?
Yes.
What would you say it meant?
What it said.
Are you prepared to deny that it was, is, a contradiction in terms?
Yes.
You're not an Irishman.
No.
Are you a well-educated man?
Yes.
And yet you persist in that statement?
Yes.
My lord, I fully expected my client to be here. This morning we sent round for him, but it's not known where he is. I consider this to be ominous. I have not, however, been instructed to apply for an adjournment, and so believe it is my duty to go on.
Yes, very well. Continue, Mr. Tinkley.
I'm most grateful, Lord. Lord, we submit that such an expression as a free hand cannot be limited, fettered, or rendered unmeaning by any verbiage which might follow it. I will go further, Your Lordship, and say that the correspondent shows, whatever Mr. Forsyte may have said in his evidence, that he had, in fact, never contemplated repudiating liability on any of the work ordered or executed by Mr. Bosinney. But my client certainly never contemplated such a contingency, or he would never have proceeded with the work. A work of extreme delicacy carried out with a great care and efficiency to meet and satisfy the fastidious taste of a connoisseur, a rich man, a man, my lord, of property. Lordship, I would now like to call my client, in case he should at the last moment have found himself able to be present.
Yes, you may call your client, Mr. Chenkery.
Grateful.
Mr. Clark, call Philip Baines Bosinney.
Call Philip Baines Bosinney.
Philip Baines Bosinney.
Philip Baines Bosinney.
Philip Baines Bosinney.
My dear, what a relief. What a relief for us all.
I wonder how Irene will take the result.
My dear.
One can't very well ask. I wonder what June will do.
My dear, one cannot speculate.
I was thinking of dear Julian's visit. He's never been to see us since. Mm. It felt, oh, I don't know, but as if the family was no longer what it was. It's as if it was breaking up.
Why?
Aunt Hester. Farewell, Uncle Swithin.
I'm sure you must be hungry after all that evidence.
Smither will toast some more muffins. Your dear father has eaten them all.
No, I'm not hungry, Aunt Julie.
You must put your legs up on the sofa.
And have a glass of prune brandy. Mm. It's so strengthening.
Pish!
What is the matter with Swithin?
A pretty pass young men are coming to, drinking prune brandy. And how's your wife, Soames? You tell her from me that if she's dull and likes to come and dine with me quietly, I'll give her such a bottle of champagne as she doesn't get every day. Well, goodbye, Julie. Hester.
Swithin's so droll.
And what are your plans now that you've won the case?
Will you leave London at once?
Live in the country?
Oh, I don't know yet. We should be moving soon.
Soames, it has been on my mind a long time, dear. And if nobody else will tell you, I have made up my mind that...
Julie, you do it on your own responsibility.
I think you ought to know, dear, that Mrs. MacAnder saw Irene walking in Richmond Park with Mr. Bosinney.
Mrs. MacAnder is a cat.
My wife. She's my wife. No, I will not let Irene drag my name in the dirt anymore. She shall not do it. If she cannot love me as is her duty and my right, she shall not play tricks with anyone else. As I've won the case, I'm prepared not to be hard on Bosinney. Come to some sort of arrangement. I'll say to Irene that we can turn over a new leaf, go down to Robin Hill straight away. We can shake hands on it. She'll let me kiss her, perhaps, and then forget. Yes, forget. What if she confesses? Well, then I'll have to bring a divorce. Divorce! It'll injure me professionally, and she'll no longer belong to me. Not even in name. What shall I do? What can I do?
Ah, Bilson.
Sir?
Where is your mistress?
Mrs. Forsythe left the house about noon, sir.
Left?
She took a trunk and a bag with her, sir.
What? What did you say?
Sir?
What message did she leave?
Mrs. Forsythe left no message, sir.
No message. Very well, Bilson. Thank you. That will do. I shall be dining out.
There's dust everywhere. The room hasn't been cleaned for weeks. That means he was obliged to give up his servant. He needs money.
June Forsythe had waited for her chance, and when her chance came, she took it with all the promptitude and resolute tenacity of her character. Bosinney's absence from court did not disquiet her. She had felt instinctively that he would not defend himself. At the end of the judgment, she took a cab to his rooms.
All those little things he loved have gone. His mother's clock, his field glasses that hung over the sofa, those valuable old prints of Harrow, and that piece of Japanese pottery I gave him. All gone. You must need money. You need me. June? Irene! What have you come for? This horrible case I came to tell him. He has lost it. Don't stand there as if you were made of stone. Wish to God I were. Stop. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear what you come for. I was here first. We can't both stay here together. You have no right here.
I have no right anywhere.
What do you mean?
I have left Soames.
You always wanted me to.
Don't. I don't want to hear anything. It's impossible to fight with you. Why don't you go?
Where should I go?
You have been a false friend to me. Why have you come? You've ruined my life, and now you want to ruin his. No, Irene. Come back, Irene, come back! Why doesn't he come?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Watson.
Is Mrs. Soames in the cab, sir?
No.
The master told me you were both expected to dinner.
Mrs. Forsyth has a cold.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
What are you looking at? What's the matter with me?
Nothing, sir, I'm sure, sir.
I'll go straight on up to my father's bedroom.
Very good, sir.
Did I last give her a check? How much has she got? Couldn't be more than £3 or £4, and that won't go far. Ah, but her jewels. The jewels I gave her. She could raise a lot on those. Enough to go abroad, enough for them to live on for months.
I'll never get it done.
Who's that? Who's there? What do you want?
It's I. Soames.
Oh, my dear boy. Dear, the hook's dropped.
Thank you.
Well, Soames, what brought you up? Aren't you well?
I'm all right.
Well, you don't look well. I expect you've taken a chill.
Have you brought Irene?
No. She's left me.
Huh?
My dear boy. Oh, my dear boy.
Left you? What do you mean, left you? You never told me she was going to leave you.
Well, how could I tell? What's to be done?
What's to be done? How should I know what's to be done? What's the good of asking me? Nobody tells me anything, and then they come and ask me what's to be done. Well, what I should say you've got to do is to follow her.
Well, I don't know where she's gone.
Oh, she's gone after that young Bosinney. That's where she's gone. Oh, there'll be a scandal. I always said so.
Now, come now, James. Soames will do all that he can to get her back. It'll all come right, I dare say.
Well, I can't see how it can come right. And if she hasn't gone off with that young Bosinney, my advice to you is to follow her and get her back.
I will.
You wanted to speak to me, Grandfather?
Yes, June. Come and snuggle up in my armchair.
Yes, Grandfather.
That's better. You look a little pinched, my darling. A little strained.
Do I?
I wanted to tell you, June, that... My darling, I've been seeing your father.
Oh.
Rather a lot lately. Almost every day. He and I, well, we thought we might let bygones be bygones. Be reconciled. You see, June, I don't really want to live alone any longer, or practically alone, in this great house. I thought I should give it up and take one in the country for my son. Place where we could all go and live together. If by any chance, my darling, you found you didn't get on with them, why, I could make that all right. You could have what you liked. You could find a little flat in London where you could set up, and I could be running in continually. But the children... Ah, dear things. This will astonish Timothy's weak nerves, or I'm a Dutchman. You'll like your father. An amiable chap. You'll find him artistic and all that. Well, what do you say?
I don't see any difficulties. There's only one thing, Grandfather.
And what's that, darling?
As you're going to buy a house in the country, won't you, to please me, buy that splendid house of Soames's at Robin Hill?
What? Isn't the man of property going to live there, then?
No, he isn't. I know he isn't.
How do you know?
I can't tell you that, Grandfather. But if you'll only buy it and settle this wretched little claim, which ought never to have been made on Phil, it would be the very best thing for everybody, and everything might come straight.
What do you mean, Joan? Have you been seeing Bossinet?
No. But I want to help him, and I will.
Do you know what they say is going on?
Yes. No. I know. And I don't know. I don't care.
I believe that you'd have him, even if he were dead. But as to buying this house, you don't know what you're talking about.
I do know. I know that you can get it if you want to. You'll only have to give what it cost.
What it cost? You know nothing about it. I won't go to Soames. I have nothing more to do with that young man.
But you needn't. You can go to Uncle James.
I've not made up my mind about anything.
You must. You must. Oh, Gran, think of me.
I'm always thinking of you. But you don't think what you're letting yourself in for.
If you don't go early, you won't catch Uncle James before he goes to the city.
James? What about your Uncle James?
The house.
Well, order the carriage tomorrow at 10.
Oh, Gran.
But I've not made up my mind.
No message. No letter. Nothing from Irene.
Irene's room was dark and cold. Soames made a great illumination with candles. And then he began opening every recess and drawer.
But her dresses are here. She's taken very few. Two or three at most. Her linen untouched. The silk untouched. Perhaps it's only a freak, and she's gone to the seaside for a few days' change. Yes. If she's really coming back, I'll never do again what I did that night. Never again run that risk. Though it is her duty. It's her duty as a wife. And a wife belongs to her husband. She's evidently not quite right in her head. The key is in her jewel box. Yes, of course. It's sure to be empty.
It was far from empty. And stuck into a recess was a three-cornered note addressed Soames Forsyte in Irene's handwriting.
I think I have taken nothing that you or your people have given me.
She loathes me. She has loathed me for years. We've been living in different worlds. There's no hope for me. There never has been. She has suffered. She is to be pitied.
In that moment of emotion, Soames betrayed the Forsyte in him. Forgot himself, his interests, his property, and was lifted into the pure ether of the selfless and unpractical. Such moments pass quickly.
No more crying. I'll take these with me into my room.
Well, Julian, how are you?
Soames is here for breakfast. We don't see much of you nowadays.
How's Emily? I've come to see you, James, about this affair of young Bosinney's. Until that new house of his is a white elephant.
I don't know anything about a white elephant. I know he's lost his case, and I should say he'll go bankrupt.
I shouldn't wonder a bit. And if he goes bankrupt, the man of property, that is Soames, will be out of pocket. Now, what I was thinking was this. If he's not going to live there... I don't want to know anything. I suppose Irene's put her foot down. It's not material to me. But I'm thinking of a house in the country myself, not too far from London. And if it suited me, I don't say that I mightn't look at it. At a price.
They tell me you're altering your will in favour of your son.
Who told you that?
Well, I'm sure I don't know. I can't remember names. I know somebody told me. Now, Soames spent a lot of money on this house. He's not likely to part with it, except at a good price. He's here now, if you'd like to see him.
No. I haven't got as far as that. I'm not likely to, if I'm met in this manner.
I know nothing about it. Soames told me nothing. I should think he'd entertain it. It's a question of price.
No, don't let him make a favour of it.
There's a policeman out here for Uncle Jolyon.
A policeman? Well, I don't know anything about a policeman.
Where is he?
He's in the hall.
I'll see him then.
Well, Father?
Your uncle's been here about the house at Robin Hill.
Oh, really?
Now, what does he want?
Who? The inspector. Oh, they sent him round from Stanhope Gate. That's all I know. That nonconformist butler of his has been pilfering. I shouldn't wonder.
Well, Julian?
Young Bosinney has been run over in the fog and killed.
What?
There's some talk of suicide.
Suicide? What should he do that for?
God knows. If you and your son don't.
Well, it was an accident. It must have been.
Death was instantaneous. He lay all yesterday at the hospital. There was nothing to tell them who he was. I'm going there now. You and your son had better come too.
You identify the gentleman, sir?
Yes.
If you'll excuse me, Inspector, I have work to do.
Yes, I know nothing. Nobody tells me anything.
Left alone with the Inspector, all that old Jolyon had felt against those two was gone. Like smoke in the long white presence of death.
Dad? Dad?
Joe. Well, I'm no good here. I'd better be going. You'll come to me as soon as you can, Joe.
Yes, Dad. How did it happen, Inspector?
Killed in the fog, sir, by an omnibus. But there's more here, sir, however, than meets the eye. The driver insists that although the visibility was poor, the fog was not thick.
Yes, I see.
I don't believe in pure accident myself. It's more likely, I think, that he was suffering under great stress of mind and took no notice of things about him. Perhaps you can throw some light on these.
Yes.
You take great care of such things until we no longer need to. You see, sir, a lady's handkerchief, the folds pinned together.
Smells of dried violets.
We said the ornamental pond.
Found in his breast pocket. The name's been cut away.
But, darling, it would ruin you.
I'm afraid I cannot help you.
Titian's Heavenly Love. Every time I look at that reproduction now, I remember that face. Her. That dark, soft glance, waiting for the poor dead man. This death will break up the Forsyte family.
Yes, a stroke had indeed slipped past their defences into the very wood of the tree. The Forsytes might flourish to all appearances as before, preserving a brave show before the eyes of London, but the trunk was dead, withered by the same flash that had stricken down Bosinney.
No one so madly in love commits suicide for want of money. No, I can't go along with suicide. But then, how tragic that an accident could cut that young man off in the full sweep of his passion, in the heyday of his summer.
Then came a vision of Soames's home as it now was, and must be hereafter. The streak of lightning had flashed its clear, uncanny gleam on bare bones, with grinning spaces between. The disguising flesh was gone.
Paper, paper, dead body identified, architect, run over in the fog.
Everything is altered now. Everything. There's no longer any need to rush at things. And no one must know that Irene, that she's gone. Not until the inquest's over. I'll find her. But no letter from her. Not a word.
Your mistress is at the sea, Bilson.
At the sea, sir?
A strange death. A strange death.
Soames! Well, George?
Here. Have you seen the evening paper? This about the poor buccaneer?
Yes.
Well, what do you think?
Couldn't have heard the omnibus in that infernal fog.
I wonder. Must have had something pretty heavy on his mind. Something heavy enough to crack a man.
Possibly.
They talk of suicide here. That cat won't jump.
An accident.
All flourishing at home? Any little Soameses yet?
Goodbye, George.
Ah, Joe, is that you?
Yes, Dad. All alone?
I've never cared for this room. Gloomy.
Oh, I don't know, Dad. It's
gloomy. No light. All that stained glass. And I've told poor little June.
How is she?
Bad. Very bad. All her hopes broken.
I think it was an accident, Dad.
It must have been. Yes. Are you going to Soames's?
I hadn't thought of it, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe. She's brought it on herself, I suppose. But somehow, I can't bear to think of Irene shut up there, all alone.
I'll go, Dad.
She's back.
On reaching home, the first thing that caught Soames's eye was his wife's gold-mounted umbrella lying on the rug chest. The curtains were drawn for the night. A bright fire of cedar logs burned in the grate, and by its light, he saw Irene sitting in her usual corner on the sofa.
So you've come back.
Why are you sitting here in the dark?
Her eyes, enormous, like a startled owl. Yes, huddled in her grey fur like that, she's a captive owl, all bunched against the wires of a cage. Bunched, huddled, broken.
So you've come back. No, don't get up. Just stay there.
Yes, I understand now. Bosinney was her lover. She's read about his death. She's come back to the cage she longed to leave. Why can't I just tell her to take her hated body, that body I love, out of my house?
He looked at her, huddled like a bird that is shot and dying, whose eyes look at you who have shot it, with a slow, soft, unseeing look, taking farewell of all that is good, of the sun and the air, and its mate.
I'm just going out for a breath of air.
When will it cease, this suffering? I need a strong drink. Then I could feel anger, or perhaps nothing.
Hey, divorce of army officer.
Divorce? It's the same tune, the same waltz, dancing together.
A cat rubbing up against my legs. Against me.
There's someone at my door. A man. I've left the door open.
Oh, it's you. What do you want?
The door was open. Might I see your wife for a minute? I have a message for her.
My wife can see no one.
I shouldn't keep her a minute.
She can see no one.
But there she is. There in the drawing room doorway stood Irene. Her eyes were wild and eager. Her lips were parted, her hands outstretched. In the sight of both men, that light vanished from her face. Her hands dropped to her sides. She stood like stone.
This is my house. I manage my own affairs. I've told you once. I tell you again. We are not at home.
In episode 3 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogard. Old Jolyon was Michael Horden. Soames Forsyte, Alan Howard. Irene, Diana Quick. And Bassini, Michael Cochran. Maurice Denham played James Forsyte. Rachel Kempson, Aunt Hester. Rennie Asherson, Aunt Julie. David March, Swithin. And Maxine Audley, Emily. Young Jolyon was played by Michael Williams. June, Angela Pleasance. Winifred, Fiona Walker. Darty, Donald G. George, Christopher Good. And Old Nicholas, John Gabriel. Joe Kendall played Mrs. McAnder. Joe Dunlop, Volta. John Moffat, Justice Bentham. Charles Simpson, Young Chankery. And David King, Waterbuck QC. Other parts were played by David Googe, Marcia King, John Bull, and Leonard Fenton. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Janet Whittaker.